I'm curious how you discovered the book.
It was not recommended to me. I kind of wish it had been, because I didn't have somebody come alongside me and tell me the gravity of what I was going to learn.
I'm Alicia Domenico, host of the Company Growth Podcast and CEO of Tangible Words. In this limited series, Books to Help You Grow, I'm sharing the books that have unlocked the most ideas for Tangible Words and our clients. While I recommend these books all the time, in each episode, I'll help you assess if the book will help you grow.
Want to know how Google, Bono, and the Gates Foundation rock the world with OKRs? Maybe you're even wondering what an OKR is. The title of our book today is Measure What Matters. It's a number one New York Times bestseller, and it's written by John Doerr. We have three segments in this podcast for you today. The first is going to be a summary of the book, so you can decide if you want to read it or not. Then we're going to talk about Tangible Words' implementation of the book. And the third section is a conversation with Jeremy Bout, CEO of Edge Factor, and he's going to share with us how important OKRs are to his company and the real-world challenges he had in implementing them. Throughout this podcast series, we'll be challenging you and debating the ideas in these books, because not every book that you've heard about is a great recommendation for your company. So let's hash it out in this episode and get a good understanding of whether Measure What Matters by John Doerr will help you grow right now. One thing I always appreciate about a nonfiction business book is when it's written in an easy narrative style, and John Doerr's writing style is excellent. This is a super easy to consume book. So if you're the kind of person who doesn't really like to read, you can digest this book. It's not as heavy as some of the other books that we might review on this show. This one's a light read. I think you'll enjoy it because there's so many examples of companies that you know, and also the writing's just so tangible. From the front cover of this book, you can see there's going to be great stories about people you recognize, companies you recognize. Particularly the Google early leadership is told throughout the entire book, and some of those early tech companies are going to really be interesting to most readers in business. Okay, so what are objectives and key results, also known as OKRs? The first thing you should know is that OKRs are one system of management for a whole company approach to get more things done. So when you're in a position of looking to grow as a company, OKRs are an incredible tool that you can use to help everybody be heading in the same direction and working hard towards the same goals without getting distracted. Throughout the book, Doerr cites countless companies who have achieved incredible things and grown simply because they use the OKR system of management to have everybody empowered to achieve the key results that would allow them to achieve these big, hairy, audacious goals. The objective is the what. What are we trying to achieve? And the key results are the how. How are we going to achieve it? Here's something to keep in mind about key results that I found really useful. Some key results are binary in the sense of, did we hit it or not? Did we get 100% completion or not? That's a binary key result, which only has a yes or no answer. But not all key results have to be in that same vein. Some of them are going to be big, hairy, audacious goals, or BHAGs for short. As defined by Jim Collins in his book, Built to Last, BHAGs are bold, innovative, potentially risky goals that are hard to achieve, but would be transformative to your company. Big, hairy, audacious goals are ones to strive for, even if you can't hit them 100% all the way. But you have to track them, and you can show progress of these big, hairy, audacious goals using something like a traffic light system or a percentage for how far along you are. Red light for off track, yellow light for sort of at risk, green light for we're on track is a traffic light system that we use at Tangible Words when we're talking about big, hairy, audacious goals for projects that we work on with our clients. What is empowering about these key results is that less is more. And by focusing on 3 to 5 maximum OKRs per cycle, you know how to prioritize what is the most urgent, important thing that we can get done. And it's easier to say no to anything that comes up, because if it's not in the OKR, you don't need to think about it right now. Once you set a company-wide set of OKRs, you empower your team to then go and set their department level, if you will, OKRs. So if your company level OKR is, you know, we want to be the best at X, then each department goes and figures out what their resulting OKRs are to help the company hit that we want to be the best company-wide OKR. And by empowering your departments to think about what role they have in the greater company goal, everybody is innovating and pushing towards that company objective in a way that you might not have had the language or systems of measurement before to make sure you hit those innovated pieces. Remember, less is more. Don't have more than 3 to 5 objectives and key result sets each cycle. And there needs to be a review process. Objectives and key results help you understand what to prioritize as a company and day-to-day as team members working towards those company goals, so you don't lose sight of that big, hairy, audacious goal that you set at the start of a quarter and then maybe forgot about. It gives you a system to review how we are tracking towards that big, hairy, audacious goal or the objective and the key results by which you will measure it. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about our implementation of objectives and key results at Tangible Words after reading John Doerr's book, Measure What Matters. If you don't know our company, Tangible Words, we're a small business in Canada that services all of North America. We're a queer-owned company where we have 2 co-owners, Vicky Merrick and Alicia Domenico. As our team was growing, we were looking for a management system to help us empower the team members around us to help us achieve a common goal with our customers. Another client of ours, Edge Factor, introduced us to the book Objectives and Key Results or Measure What Matters by John Doerr. And we started to adopt the OKR system immediately after that. We bought the book at the end of 2020, just before the winter holiday break, read it. I think I was reading sections of it in the car to Vicky as we were traveling to different family members' holiday events. And we knew coming back in January, we were ready to implement the OKR management system because it was going to really help our company grow. Here are some of the things that struck me when I was reading this book about why it would be so obvious and really important for Tangible Words' growth in to implement Measure What Matters. First of all, I'm an ideas person. As a CEO, it's very easy for me to get excited about things. I mean, that's one of the things I love about my job is that I get excited about other businesses. Everybody knows this about me. If you tell me about your company in a passionate way, I'm probably going to get excited about it and start being a very easy salesperson for you. But that means that I collect ideas, and sometimes that means you can have too many priorities going at once. So it was so obvious to me that I could use a system like this to help me focus and set the right priorities, not only for myself, but for the leadership team and for the team members that we were working with, but also to help direct our clients who are sometimes coming to us because they're in a real panic about a revenue problem. So being able to focus on how we're going to get there, how I'm going to lead them towards the market leadership position they want to occupy or the revenue growth that they want to see, we have to be able to set priorities and know what we're going to say yes to and what we're going to say no to. So adopting this into my sales process to make sure that I could lead our clients was like a relief. It was a breath of fresh air that I could teach them this and help them with this because every small business, I think, is actually struggling with too many priorities. The second big idea was that there was too many voices. So having one simple system of management meant that we could both agree to it. Because it was an easy narrative, we could all read it. And no matter who loves books more than the other person and the leadership team, it really wasn't an issue. And I think that any company would find that. So I think it's great to help everybody get on the page about which system of management that you're going to adopt simply because it's an easy read and something that you can consume quickly. When I say it's an easy read, I mean it's not as academic sounding as some books that make your sentences too complex and just not as skimmable or consumable as quickly as you'd like it to be to feel like you're really progressing towards even reading the book as a starting point. And I've already slightly touched on the third reason of why it was so obvious that we needed to adopt this book, but let me make it really clear that it was a system that we could use to teach and to manage our clients. And why I want to talk about that a little bit more is because we're a business-to-business, B2B service-based company. And traditionally, we've been a marketing company, but we realized in doing marketing that no matter how much marketing you can do for most companies, the sales process is actually the thing that closes the deals. So helping clients now with sales processes, much more important to us, because the marketing can kind of come after that if we know that the sales team feels supported and has the tools that they need to be successful to close deals. So being able to use objectives and key results to teach our clients about what the services that we were providing and what the objectives were. What is the what? Like, what do you need our help with? And then what are the key results to show that we're going to help hit this objective? Became very empowering in discussing our services and how we could do a better job for them and get results that we were all going to feel really good about achieving. So we read the book and we knew we needed to adopt it. We knew it was going to really help us with our clients. We knew it was going to really help us focus and get our whole team involved in that focus so that we could split up and divide and conquer. So many times in a small business, you have a really great idea and you can't bring it to fruition because it's inside your head. You read a book, you think about it for an hour or two, or maybe in the shower the next day, and then it's gone. And the other priorities just completely consume that space. So being able to say, okay, we really want to adopt this. What are the steps to do that? And then it was really confronting. So what we decided to do was to start off with our North Star, and articulating our North Star we had never really done before, or maybe we had, but we really wanted to make it much more customer centric. So we sat down together, the leadership team, and we wrote our North Star that we really wanted to create relief and profitability for other companies. And we said it in a very simple statement. Sometimes when you write your sales story or you get into writing your value proposition, you can get a little turned around about what it is that you're doing. And we had been through many incantations of that before. Even as copywriters, you might be surprised. And as marketers, sometimes it's really hard to see it for yourself. So one of the values that I've always said we provide at Tangible Words for other companies is that ability to get that external perspective on your company. So we really workshopped what that external perspective approved thing was that we're doing, and creating relief and profitability is essentially what we do for other companies. And that might take the form of sales process work. It might take the form of marketing and lead generation. It might take the form of helping companies with their customer service processes or their adoption of HubSpot. But ultimately, everything that we did came back to creating relief and profitability for other companies. So that became our North Star. That was the easiest thing to write. And once we had that, it became so much easier to write the objectives and the key results, because now we could set objectives around, okay, what do we need to do to make sure that we always create relief and profitability? So writing that first objective of how we always create relief and profitability, and then what are the key results, became very, very clear. It also became very obvious to say, why aren't we doing that yet? What needs to be done? And we knew that we had a bottleneck in time. The leaders were involved in company direction, but they were also involved in day-to-day operations. So we needed to set an objective around how do we scale what we know how to do to make sure that our whole team knows how to do it. And that became our second objective, with a subset of key results as to how we would measure whether we'd achieve those. We did all of this work at the start of 2021, and all year long, we had a Word document that we would return to quarterly to see how, actually even sooner than that, I would say monthly, to say how we are actually implementing those key results and how we're on track with it. We also found that it was easier to divide up the work when we could say, okay, we've approved this, this is ready to go. One of our objectives and key results was a marketing machine and an index of all the content that we'd created over the years. And so we created a whole project around the key results around that, and we're able to hand it off to our team to implement, to say, you know, all that stuff that we've written in the past, all those things about who we are, we want to review all of that. And our team already had a muscle of being able to do that for our clients, so they were able to take that on with relative ease for Tangible Words, and to manage that side of getting, you know, the machine built that we needed to for one of those objectives, which was about scale. John Doerr doesn't, he talks about failure as like a positive thing. He says failure is actually really important and creating a culture of failure is very important. And the other thing that he says is really important is making the objectives and key results your own. And I really feel like we did make it our own. He also talks about reviewing the objectives and key results so you can make changes. So that Word document became this kind of Play-Doh set that we would work on and see how we were tracking or adjust goals, considering maybe things changed. Is it still the right goal for us? And some of those things happened and changed over time. So we made edits to that Word document. It was actually a Google Doc. And we lived and breathed this objectives and key results, and we managed it in our project management software, Asana, wherever we could. And we just had an L10 meeting where we checked in about how we were progressing and what the next thing was to do and whether we were on track or off track with those big goals. Some of the goals were binary, remember. They were ones that were yes, no, completion. Did you get this done or not? It's a 100% goal. It's a binary goal. But a lot of our goals were big, hairy, audacious goals, and we could only do percentage completion. And those are the ones that sometimes change too. If we took on a bunch of clients all at once, which was something that was happening to us a lot back in 2021, we were able to make adjustments and to say, look, let's let that go for right now and focus on this because we know we have this opportunity or we have this priority that just slipped in there. You know, we're making this new product. So that was our government system for managing the implementation of the OKRs. This allowed us to compartmentalize our services and to get away from the sort of nebulous retainer, nebulous marketing, nebulous I don't know what I'm paying for experience that our customers were having, and to really lock it down. Okay, we're going to do lead generation services. What does that look like? What are the key results that we want to hit? A lot of those key results are binary because we're delivering a service and you want that service to get done. So we would set up all of those infrastructure pieces. It also allowed us to sell our packages completely the same way as we set up the operations of those projects to make it more scalable. We set up our Asana project based around the objective of that project with those key results, and all of those tasks got built out. So it was a checklist that anybody in our team could follow, which allowed us to get the leadership team outside of the operations. It also meant that it scaled our sales process and made our customers much more part of what they were buying and understanding what they were getting. So everything that we put in that Asana project about this is the objective and these are the key results went into our quotes. And we taught our clients in the sales process about objectives and key results and the concept of that binary versus big, hairy, audacious goal types of key results that we might set together and when those are useful so that we all had a common language to speak about what we wanted to get done together. I can honestly say with 100% enthusiasm and trust in our experience over the last 2 years of going through this, this book was pivotal for who we wanted to be, how we got to become that company, and how we changed things and really turned around all of our services and our communication with our clients throughout that flywheel of marketing, customer prospecting, and into customer retention. So let's have a little bit of a debate in the sense of some of the issues that arose and what you might face. First of all, one of the things that Doerr writes is that in your key results, your hows, if you're writing activities, they are not key results. He talks about them needing to be outcomes because the outcomes mean that you're achieving the objective. I don't know if that's super, super true because sometimes, particularly in a small business, we just needed to get stuff done. So do we really care if it's activities or outcomes? That's a question. And maybe that's one of those times where you can make it your own. Here's another debatable piece. One of the stories that he tells, the leaders are saying, if you get all green on your key results, then you failed. And I know that what they're trying to do is get people to really think up the big, hairy, audacious goals and to innovate on what they should be achieving as a company so that you exceed the status quo. When you look at it that way, you can say, yeah, it's important. Innovation is important. But at Tangible Words, I never feel like we don't have the biggest, hairiest goal in mind. We're always striving and trying to do something really hard. So for me, that whole, if you hit all the greens, you failed, really didn't resonate and isn't something that I'm going to be adopting amongst our team. Particularly when it came to servicing our clients. If you've paid for a service, green feels pretty good. Certainly we used weekly in our Asana progress reports, the red light, green light particularly to communicate with our clients when we needed feedback from them and maybe they were missing their deadlines. So we use a lot of that red light, off track, or at risk project progress reports every week. And we rely on those heavily to communicate with our clients that, hey, we need something from you, or hey, we're having an issue with X that was an unforeseeable circumstance. So it does give you a language to redirect as a partnership, no matter who makes up that partnership, client and provider or team members. But this whole concept of if you have too many greens and you're hitting all your goals easily, you're doing it easy, is something that I think you need to take, not necessarily with a grain of salt, but you need to consider how it is relevant to you. There is an element of green is actually really good and feels good. So it's inspiring and makes you want to keep going, but make sure that you are challenging yourself. So I think that wrapping my head around that and forgiving myself with this concept of, well, I want to get green, I want to be an A+ student on this, was really important to kind of relax a little bit and be like, we can make this our own. We have that flexibility to interpret that as to what it means. And we know for us that our goals are always super big and ambitious. I can honestly say that in reflection of everything that we wrote in that Google Doc about what we wanted to achieve, we really have achieved it. And adopting this OKR system to help us reach that North Star and develop our products, redevelop our products, which is what we were going through, in a scalable way and in a way that would create less anxiety with our clients and more trust and more profitability and relief, we really use that system and we're able to achieve this amazing thing that we have now built. I'm so excited to welcome Jeremy Bout, the founder and CEO of Edge Factor, to this show. Jeremy, you're the first person who taught me about OKRs and John Doerr, and you said, Alicia, read this book, Measure What Matters. Can you tell me a little bit about why that book was so impactful for you?
Well, with what we do with Edge Factor, we have a lot of different minds in the same space. So you've got some really strong coder capabilities on the one end of the spectrum, and then you got uber creative, don't really like to work from home kind of people because they need to be with people. And what we found with Edge Factor as we were building a lot of both the software and the content that goes into the software, we were struggling to really pull the entire team together. And as we tried to bring big ideas to life, we struggled to unify everyone's vision around what it is that we were doing. And Measure What Matters really helped us find a methodology that worked. It kind of forced us to have really good hard conversations around accountability and how do you take a maybe a loud and exciting vision, but actually tangibly break it down to here's the vision for this team and how this objective that we just set now needs to turn into a key result that can be measured, and the accountability for what you said you were going to do and how that action is also paired with all of these other things. So the triangulation of OKRs for me really united and was very exciting to watch how the effects on the psyche of a lot of people, where they said, I feel like I can look at the teams beside me and understand how what I do affects them and how jointly what we're doing moves us towards this united goal. So in a nutshell, for us, it was really about uniting the team.
I'm curious how you discovered the book.
You know, that's the interesting thing. I just saw it weirdly, and it was not recommended to me. I kind of wished it had been, because I didn't have somebody come alongside me and tell me the gravity of what I was going to learn. So I dabbled with it, but it was just a really, whoa, this is what I've been looking for moment. And I've had that with a bunch of books, so it's not the only one that I would have that with. Yeah, it was, the idea of really being held accountable as a business leader, that I was aware of what needed to be measured. Because sometimes you can allow dysfunction under your watch because you're too lazy, quite frankly, as a leader, to do the hard work of figuring out what you should be measuring.
For me, what I was looking for was that unified system of management to communicate about We're all going in this direction, and we all have different responsibilities and roles to get us there. And the setup of OKRs allows you to all say, okay, we're all on the same objective, but we might have different key results, or we might have different sub-objectives and key results to get us to that company-wide objective.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that was the beauty, right? Was to be able to then watch the interpretation of the same objective look completely different for the communications team than it did for the sales team, than it did for the software team, you know, than it did for my content creation team. And yet they were all working on the exact same objective. That was fascinating to watch.
Amazing. And one of the things I'm curious about is, how did you get everybody on side with the concept of OKRs? I'm interested in that kind of rollout, because I think you do something a little bit unique at Edge Factor.
I love how you say unique. I think it's probably weird, but but you know what? I think it's partly you have to read the book to understand how a poor adoption will absolutely kill the idea. You can't dabble with it. And what we did initially, I had announced to the company we were moving in this direction, but that we were going to start with our executive team. And I had written, and I think it's super, super important. You've got to write this stuff out. You've got to lay it on paper. Don't just talk about it. You've got to lay it out very carefully and refine it and refine it and refine it. And we had stumbled across four key principles that were going to govern the OKR system that we were planning to implement. And then, quite frankly, we were hit by COVID. And for a while, in the panic of the world collapsing around us as we knew it at the time, for me, it was a lot of rearranging personally for me, what I was spending my days doing. And about 6 months into COVID, we looked back at the first round of executive level OKRs that we were going to implement. And it was so beautiful to see that we were living them out, because we had so deeply believed in them, and we had already set that objective, and we had already started to govern what we were going to do by that objective. And while we hadn't officially rolled out the key results to our employees, we could literally look at it and say, we are cued and ready to go. We believe in this because we just went through this and it helped govern.
Yeah, you can't suddenly change course and just be like, oh, this no. idea, let's go chase that for now.
Yeah, because you're going to be held accountable. And then what I allowed my employees to do when we did finally roll it out was I allowed them to challenge me on if they found that they were working on anything that did not fit into OKRs, that they could either say no or bring it to me and say, I think it does fit, but it fits in the following ways. And so they had to then also come prepared to report each person. And we ran it through Asana, which, you know how much we love Asana. And we forced Asana to work for us, even though it wasn't exactly built for OKRs at the time. I think it's come a long way even since then in that regard. But yeah, I mean, we were pretty committed to it, and it was uncomfortable at times. And I will say we are in a bit of a hiatus right now with OKRs. So I think we're cutting ourselves a break for a couple of months, because we finished our OKRs and we were bringing a software to market that was slightly delayed. And because our OKRs aligned directly with when the content went to market, we needed to allow ourselves just to say, okay, we're gonna do it this way, but we're gonna bring in OKRs as soon as we feel it's the right time. So, you know, you also have to just be flexible, I think, and cut yourself a bit of slack. Otherwise, you'll just go crazy doing these things.
Well, I think it's exhausting, as you brought up. And I love that you brought up this point about how to absolutely fail in the adoption of OKRs earlier. And I think that's something that's worth cycling back to, because you did it the right way, which he advises you to do, which is to start with your leadership team, start with the executive team. Don't try to do it to everybody, because unless the whole executive team is doing it super, super well, it's going to, and they're living it and breathing it and always enforcing it, it's always going to take time, or it's never going to work across the whole company, because it has to be led by the executive team first.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And you have to all be willing to be vulnerable. There's a vulnerability. So if you haven't created a safe place for vulnerability, this will likely fail pretty badly. If there's a lot of ego, which, you know, a certain amount of ego is important, I think, because you have to be proud of your company, but not ego towards each other. I think OKRs are built around the idea that you are willing to come alongside of other people's failings, because you're at risk when they're failing. So it's not about fiefdoms. It's actually about a corporate understanding of what the company's objective is. And while your team, we struggled with this a little bit, where there was some dependencies where it was like this team couldn't get started on their one particular key result because this team hadn't been able to get this done because that team. And so when you gain visibility across that, you almost create a compassionate environment where it's like, oh man, I'm so sorry that you're struggling with that. Can I help you with that? And then they reciprocate when it's your turn to need help. So it can be very positive for, I think, the culture of a company, but you have to be mindful that if you haven't built the right culture to begin with, it will likely fail.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even you challenging them and saying, getting your staff to tell you as the CEO to come to you with things that they believe do not fit within the OKRs or how it fits in, is takes a lot of skill, diplomacy, compassion, and trust. Mm. So being able to foster that amongst your team, I think, is really important. And it's kind of going into what you've said on other shows about that ability to all lean into what we're good at and to help each other and understand where we have weaknesses so that we can support each other.
100%.
Did you buy a copy for everybody? How did you get everyone to read
it? Oh, yeah, totally.
So you bought copies to everybody and distributed and said, read it by this date?
Yeah, we did actually. We took it one step further. So one, there's been lots of books over the years that were really meaningful to me. Like, for example, early in Edge Factor, for me, it was Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership. So I'm like, guys, if you read this book, it will explain who I am to you. But you can also hold me accountable to this book, because I firmly believe that what he's done with this structure is how I want to run our company. So I would buy copies, and I still do that to this day. I just had somebody start my sales team, and I sent him two books. One was Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey. The other one was Measure What Matters. So I will buy those books and just invest into that, because I really want people to recognize that a lot of what we're doing doesn't just come from my head. It comes from much smarter brains than mine. And people who have also done this in many ways, and it's a trusted system. It's not just something that we home-baked here. I want them to see that, but I also want them to demonstrate to me that they're willing to invest in themselves. I want to know that I've got a team who can actually mentally process. Sometimes it reveals to me who's capable of thinking about deeper thoughts and not. So when I turn to somebody to have a deeper discussion, it might be somebody who's indicated to me during one of these sort of book crazes that I go on how did they adapt to that. But the other thing that we did was we took, I don't know if this is unorthodox or not, but we actually studied it as a team, where we would go chapter by chapter. I would pay everyone for an extra half hour. We'd carve it out in the middle of an afternoon, and we would read through it and just talk about it. Hey, what stood out to you? What felt uncomfortable to you? Did you see this as something that provided value to them in a way that we might be able to take advantage of? And so that was interesting. I think I would do it differently if I did it again, and I would like to do it again with traction. So there will be another session like that coming up. But certainly, I think you have to be willing to be vulnerable, because I had to be super vulnerable in those meetings, because you know sometimes things come up that you don't necessarily want to hear, but it's probably the truth.
Yeah, could be good feedback. And there's magic in pain too, I think, right? Like you get that feedback, and it's the pain that forces you to grow.
Well, and ultimately, if you know, one of the things that I say quite often to new hires is you'll find very quickly that I respect you more when you push back on me. I don't surround myself with yes people. I don't want yes men or yes women. I want people who speak truth, and hopefully they can come to me with a definitive, here's why I don't agree with what it is that you just said. I'm like, whoa, bring it on. Because it means you have a critical thinker, right?
Yeah.
When somebody can do that, likely they're doing it because they care enough to point out what's going on. And so 100%, if you can build a creative but also critical thinking team, when you launch your OKRs, you'll do it successfully and confident of it.
Would I use OKRs again? I'm already using them. I use them all the time in everything that we create for our clients. And teaching our clients about how to use objectives and key results in the work that they do with us, as well as for their company, is a great passion of mine, which is why we made this podcast. I hope it helps you grow.
For more information on John Doerr's book, measure what matters, visit whatmatters.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast at anchor.fm/companygrowthpodcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.